Support for Class Dismissed comes from School Status. School Status is the only K-12 data analytics platform designed to turn analysis into engagement. To learn more about how School Status can change your school district, head over to schoolstatus.com. You are listening to Class Dismissed, episode 53, and I'm your host, Nick Ortego. New studies point to the power of teacher-student relationships. The Department of Education says they will do a full review of the Teach Grant debacle. And has a word ever snuck its way into the dictionary that's not really a word? Stay with us. Class Dismissed is the podcast that inspires educators through story. Each week, we cover some of the hottest topics and news in the world of education. Plus, we speak with a guest with a bright idea for education that you can apply in your community. This week, what's it like when our teachers of the year all gather up in Washington, D.C. and take a trip to the White House? We'll ask one of them today. Hello, everybody. Nick Ortego here, and I'm joined by teacher extraordinaire Lissa Pruitt. Lissa, how are you doing?
I'm great.
We're giving Russ the day off again. You know, summer travels, I guess.
Yeah.
He's probably working really hard, though.
Diva.
He's working so hard. You know he is.
This is their busy time.
Yeah,
like,
well,
crazy busy until September.
They do a lot of work in the summertime in terms of like redeveloping stuff for School Status and programs. And I know they're kicking out all sorts of emails and updates and stuff. So got to let him work. Got to let him do his thing. Hey, you know what I saw that's pretty cool? Actually, did you send me this?
I did. I think I know what you're about to say.
Okay. So it was a school in Mississippi. Was it Rankin County?
Yes.
Ranking, it might have been Rankin High School, but I always talk about how like it's frustrating that, you know, like there's this emphasis on sports and where you sign and, you know, and not so much academics. You don't always see that. And they had these banners in their hallway of all the kids that, what was it?
Scored the highest on the ACT and SAT.
So
they have like, you know how like sports teams have sports banners for their seniors, and it shows them holding a football or a volleyball or whatever. But it was like that. It was a photo of the children, but it was like their ACT or SAT, like highest honors, GPA, like, you know, it's
their stats.
Awesome. Yeah,
their
like their
stats.
Own playing card, right?
Yeah. That's cool. There should be more of that.
And it would just line the hallways. And I think lots of schools are doing this around the nation. So it's so cool.
Hopefully that catches on. Let's go ahead and jump into the teacher's lounge. What do you know?
Okay, this is such an interesting story about research that focuses on the benefits of platooning or looping. Do you know what either of those are, Nick?
Those sound like movies. Platoon and was it Looper?
Platoon.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Okay, so platooning is when you have a teacher that specializes in math. And so she's going to teach several periods of math all day long, and students rotate through her classroom. Mm-hmm. So she's like the math guru of the upper grades. And so the idea is, she's the most knowledgeable. She's going to have higher test scores and that kind of thing. So we're going to make her focus hard on math, and we'll let somebody who has strength in science or language focus hard in those subject areas, and the students rotate through. That's called platooning. In the South, they call it switch teachers. That's, you know, that's another word you hear. But looping is where you have one teacher that stays with a classroom of students for 2 years, and she teaches all subject matter to the students, except for, you know, if they go to resource teachers like art and music. But she's the main, if you have a looping teacher, she's the main teacher of, you know, language, math, science, social studies, and they stay with her for 2 years. So if you have a looping teacher in kindergarten, you're going to have that same teacher in first grade. And so this research that's a 2-year study that has been done by Roland Fryer from Harvard, just published in 2018, says, is platooning the best thing?
Hmm.
Platooning, where you have specialty teachers.
It would be, but.
Well, and, you know, we shifted. We used to do a lot of looping. That used to be very common. And looping is actually not as expensive because you have one teacher that teaches for first and second grade or, you know, K and one and then two and three and then four and five. And so they shifted. When state testing and scores and everything became so important, they decided, okay, well, let's start platooning so that we have great teachers and their most effective element with the children. So it sounds right. You know, I was a math teacher, you know, and so I have done platooning.
Yeah, I've never looped. You know your content backwards and forwards.
I think so.
Right. Or no, so, you should.
Absolutely. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. And so anybody would say this is the way to go. This is what we should be doing to improve
test scores. You're telling me some research says
no. But the 2-year study shows the opposite. It shows math, reading, and language scores going down. It shows more absences, more tardies. It shows your special needs students suffering the worst.
Okay. So they had the results of bad results. But do they have a hypothesis as to why?
Yeah. Yes. And it makes perfect sense as a teacher. Now, like I said, I have never looped. My children have looped. I have never been a looping teacher. I have been a self-contained teacher where I had my classroom for just 1 year and they moved on and I taught every subject. And then I have been a platoon teacher of just math. And it makes perfect sense, but it's actually harming the children because they don't have a sense of community. And they also don't have a relationship with any teacher because they're bouncing from room to room. There is no one that's looking over the entire child as a whole all through the day. So, and then also as teachers, we have detached a little, and I think that this is true. We've detached a little and we're so focused on the content and getting the content out. And we are the champions of this subject. And you are going to, we're going to unfurl all of our knowledge upon you.
Yeah.
That we have taken a step back from getting to know the students and being more of a relationship status with our students, every student, because you teach so many students.
I'm on the fence because I believe in relationship and community and I get that. But, you know, I'm kind of sometimes like with one of my kids, one of his platoon teachers isn't the best, you know, and that relationship clearly isn't there.
Yes. And I remember when my oldest son was in kindergarten and we were looping to first and we were tickled to death with our teacher, you know, but I remember other kids from other classrooms that didn't want to be with that same teacher for first grade. And there are times that
you get a bad draw sometimes.
Yes. Well, or just a conflict with parents and teacher or child and teacher. And so there are times that you have a withdrawal from the class and you might have a movement, but that's very discouraged. Mm-hmm. But there's also, I think, a lot of stories where your idea of a student changes after the course of 2 years and you're able to get through something that was difficult and everybody came out fine at the end.
This is true.
Definitely looping is more popular in the younger grades. So K1, 2, and 3. And then after third grade, you start doing the platooning.
Do you know if the results were across the board like this or?
Yes. You can dive more into this Harvard study, but it definitely shows there's lots of paragraphs that went into explaining all the different ways they tested it in different schools. And just to be fair, they did this versus this. And so it's a 2-year study that finally comes to overwhelming response of, nope, it doesn't really, it's actually negatively affecting the students. And nope, the test scores don't soar high like you think they would. But it's also just, they're saying because if you teach a child through every subject, you see their strengths and weaknesses. If you teach a child in only one subject and that happens to be their bad subject, you're not going to really positively affect them because you're not able to see their strengths and play on those strengths that maybe shine in other areas. And then you have more absences because the children, they don't feel a connection to the school. They just check in when it's this certain subject
and
they check out when it's another subject.
Yeah.
And so you have more tardies, more absences. Basically, what they're saying in a nutshell is it affects the community classroom as a whole. It affects the teacher not being as effective and viewing her students as truly part of her community and family, and they're all learning together. There's no individualized instruction. It's usually just a pouring out of knowledge and everybody's got to get it or not get it. And then you're out of here in 50 minutes and here comes the next crew. And then it also negatively affects the children from not feeling like anyone in the school is watching over them the whole day.
What's your gut tell you? What's the better way?
Oh, I mean, I think definitely when you get in the upper grades, I mean, that's what high school is. You transition from class to class, same in college. So eventually you're going to be forced into a platooning format, and that is the best way for sure. But I do think if you're in the, you know, I know some schools, I've taught at schools where they do switch teachers in second grade. you've just got to be very careful. I think this study, I'm not saying don't do platooning in the lower grades, but if you do it in second, third, fourth, fifth, just be mindful of the social effects that it might be having. If you have a child with a wiggly tooth in the morning session, try to check into that child later around lunch and say, how's it feeling? You know, make sure that those children from us.
That was the most random thing ever.
But that
a wiggly
but it
tooth
happens. Like that's. But I mean, you do. You have a child that
just
has a sick stomach.
Connect
right.
With the child.
You have someone that feels sick to their stomach, or you have like. I can think of a time where I had a child that came to school and they were in my math class, and their dog had been hit by a car that morning.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't see that child for the rest of the day, but when I saw that child later, just passing, I asked them, "How are you doing? You know, I'm so sorry. You know, because they didn't want to be at school. You know, so." It's things like that. Just if you're a teacher that's a platooning teacher, just make an effort to try to connect with your children in a relationship way throughout the day.
Right. Well, interesting study. Remember the story we covered a while back about the teach grants? It was kind of, it's a scandal, really. It's these teachers. Well, I'll try to quickly summarize this if you missed the episode. But teachers who went to go work in areas where they needed teachers received a grant. Mm. And each year they had to basically fill out paperwork saying, I'm over here and I'm doing this. And they send it in and they continue to get their grant. But apparently little mistakes to the paperwork, like signature messed up or it went in like 2 days late or the refiling paperwork was sent to the wrong address. Like what I would call clerical errors cause these loans to flip from grants or cause this money to flip from grants to loans with interest.
With interest, right.
So all these teachers were like, you know, thinking they were given money for doing this good deed, I guess you can say, or working in areas where
fill a need.
And it turned out they were then saying, oh, you didn't fill out that paperwork properly. You now have a loan with all this money and you have to pay it back with interest. And then they would go and try and appeal and they were like, ha ha ha, this isn't going to get appealed, is kind of the reaction they would get from the company that was handling the grants. But technically it was a Department of Education program, but there was a third party, you know, doing the switcheroo on folks. So now the Department of Education says they are going to do a full top to bottom internal review of all aspects of this. And that's about all we know right now. So
Is there a timeline? Did they say it will be resolved?
Okay. From the article I read, there is no timeline yet. Mm-hmm. But the most important thing, if you are caught up in this debacle, for lack of a better term, is they say, appeal. Like if you haven't appealed, appeals, because that might be how they identify who needs to be looked at closer, even if you lose the appeal. So make sure you appeal.
Yeah, that's good information.
If you have an issue. But do you have faith that this will be fixed, corrected?
Yes, I think they're going to have to make good on, they're going to have to resolve some of these loans or interest fees or, you know, delinquent fees or whatever, they're going to have to.
This is where it gets messy, though. What if, you know, this, it's a spiral, you know, you think that you don't owe this money and then suddenly you start paying it and then another bill you're late on. You know, it's just like you find yourself, if you're trying to pay off this loan with interest that you didn't expect to have to pay, you might be late for paying your credit card bill or your house note or your water bill. You just don't know what type of tangle web people find themselves in because of the lack of empathy due to clerical errors in this grant program. That's kind of my frustration with it.
That is frustrating. And it's this happens all the time, too, where you have paperwork sent over and then they're waiting. Okay, in order for this to move further, we have to have this piece of paper filled out. But they never let the original person know. And then months go by and then you're like, well, nothing's happened. And then they say, well, it's because you never sent in this form. Well, nobody ever gave me the form. You know, it's, I think that there's, you know, it doesn't make me feel warm and fuzzy that they say they're going to do a top to bottom investigation because I have little faith in it, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm sure the people that are struggling with this have very little faith in it. They're probably so frustrated. Yeah. I can't imagine.
I mean, there's a little bit of optimism there that they're at least looking at it, but seems like they have a long ways to go.
But you're right. There is a ripple effect. It causes, you know, they're in dire straits in other ways now. And so That stinks.
Yeah. If I were them, I just wouldn't be paying the thing, though. If I really, truly feel like I have a case.
Yeah,
like,
I wouldn't take Nick's
advice. That's the bill I wouldn't pay.
I don't know that I would take Nick's impulsive advice unless I had spoken with an attorney that had looked through it and said, yeah, you know what, you're good. Don't pay it because you're going to come out on top.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for representing me on that one. All right. So the dictionary, you know, Merriam-Webster dictionary, right? Mm-hmm. In your mind, is every word in there a word?
Well, I mean, this is my favorite. I love it when they come out with the new words of the year. And yeah, I know some people,
but those are words,
are agitated by it, you know, and then some people think it's cool. I think it's cool to see what the prospects are.
Do you think, and I know the answer, do you think a word has ever snuck its way into the dictionary that's not a word at all?
I do think so.
It's happened once, and apparently Merriam-Webster came clean about it this week.
Oh, my gosh.
It happened a while back.
The underbelly.
Yeah, this was like back in the 30s. And they say it's the only time it ever happened.
That's funny.
But the word was DORD, D-O-R-D.
When Webster's new International Dictionary, second edition, or W-2 as we call it, was released in 1934, it included this entry. No etymology, no examples of the word in use, and there were no examples in our files either. DORD was what's sometimes called a ghost word. How did this happen? Well, it all started when a 3x5 slip of paper dated July 31st, 1931, arrived from one of our chemistry consultants, intended to be one of several slips for the letter D as an abbreviation, in this case for density.
And someone had put D space O-R and then a lowercase d, so it was like, it looked like DORD, but there were some spaces in between there. But apparently it's pretty common in when you're like making a dictionary, especially in the 1930s, that you would have a space.
Whenever such a slip was made for an entry, spaces were required between all the letters of the term being defined so that there would be room to add marks showing stress and syllable breaks. To the person who handled the slip, it looked like there was simply a space missing between the O and the R. This person added a wavy line under all four letters to show that they should all be in boldface. The pronunciation editor penned a simple pronunciation. How it got by the etymologist, we'll never know.
So apparently somebody recognized it had already been there for several years, and he was like, we need to remove this. But then for some reason, which Merriam-Webster can't explain, it didn't really get removed for another several years.
In 1939, an editor discovered the error and wrote this slip, marked imperative, urgent, calling for a correction in the next printing. But for some reason, the change wasn't actually made until 1947. And that marked the end of DORD, Merriam-Webster's only ghost word.
DORD should be in the dictionary now. I feel like it's now a word.
No.
Because it's such a cool story.
It is a cool story, but I don't think it means density.
Sure. Well, but it should be.
I don't think so.
Well, let's do it. Can we start like a Facebook page or?
I'm sure there's lots. There'll be t-shirts that say DORD.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you're a chemist or a physicist, you'll be wearing a black t-shirt with white simple writing that says DORD.
Like this cube has a lot of DORD to it. Doesn't that sound right? Right?
That's
I don't know.
That's funny.
Are you ready for the bright idea?
Yes.
We are talking to a previous guest. Do you remember Tara from Texas, the teacher who was Teacher of the Year? And she had this incredible story. It's really one of these episodes you need to go back and listen to. But she was Teacher of the Year, and she had actually dropped out of high school at one point and completely found her way and became this incredible teacher in the state of Texas. Well, we invited her back on the show because I wanted to hear about her trip. She got to go up to Washington, D.C. with all the other Teachers of the Year, and I just kind of wanted to see what that was like, and maybe we can get an inside peek.
Cool.
Our guest in today's Bright Idea segment was named 2018 Teacher of the Year for the great state of Texas. Tara Bordeaux is a media arts instructor at Lanier High School in Austin, Texas, and she built a nationally recognized media arts program at the school. She's actually a repeat guest on the Class Dismissed podcast. We interviewed her back in episode 25 if you want to go back and hear her incredible story. But I wanted to bring her back on and talk about a special trip she recently got back from. Tara, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Nick.
I've always been really excited to hear about, you know, all the teachers gather who are nominated Teacher of the Year or selected by their state for Teacher of the Year, and they all go to Washington, D.C. That happened, what, about a month ago or so for you?
Yeah, about a month ago.
And and what's your year been like before we get into the actual trip? You know, you were, I guess, I forget how long ago it was we talked, but probably 7-8 months ago. What's it been like since you've been named Teacher of the Year for Texas?
It's this year has been extremely crazy. It's been a huge blessing. It's so many amazing opportunities have come my way, and you get to meet so many wonderful people, and you get to have a role in policy and reform and change. And that's something that you don't just get every day as a teacher, is to be able to be in the room and help make those decisions. It's been exciting, but it's been, as you can tell, I have no voice. It's been exhausting.
Yeah, I imagine it is a little extra work. And so you said you've been able to kind of have a say in policy discussions. So I guess has like the legislators or maybe like a state superintendent invited you to some boards? How's that work?
I've been on a couple committees and boards, and I have quite a few this summer. Some of the things that I'm, you know, of course, in my district alone, I get to do things with the superintendent's roundtable, where I get to help make decisions in Austin ISD with 24 other amazing educators in our district. And then in terms of the state, you get to work with the TEA, you get to work with TASA. There are so many different amazing education agencies here in Texas that you work with, and then even outside. The group of us that went to Washington even got to talk to people from the Department of Education. So we are involved in quite a bit when you're at the state level. And it's exciting because for the most part of teachers, we don't really get to talk to people or have people listen to us. And so when you're a state teacher, you kind of, I know for me, it's about gathering the voices of all the people that I know and as many teacher voices as I can to take with me so that it's a truly representative of not just my voice, but as many teachers in Texas that I can, because I think that's the fairest way to do it.
So you got to take this trip to Washington, D.C. Had you ever been before?
Mm-hmm. I had been to D.C. before a couple years ago with the Freedom Riders. So, yes, I've been to D.C. This is my first time to go more the, I guess, the White House route, if you would, but I definitely went before with the Freedom Riders.
And I guess you said you had the ears of, or all of you had the ears of the Department of Education. Was the secretary there? How'd that work?
We did. We had a private, all of us had a private, well, it's a group. So every state teacher, we got together in a group and had a roundtable discussion with Betsy DeVos. And she did show up, and we got to talk to her for a little while. And many of us voiced concerns and things that we thought were issues in education today. And she listened, and we had that discussion. And then we were also able to talk to some of the new members of the Department of Education who are working on, like, the school safety committees and things like that. So we definitely had opportunities to speak, and we were heard. Whether or not anything will be implemented is still, you know, we'll find out. But we definitely were able to share our voices and our concerns.
You mentioned, you started to say private. And what you mean by that, I guess, is it wasn't a photo opportunity, so to speak. There weren't cameras necessarily in the room, and you probably didn't have posturing of any politicians. So did it feel genuine to you, what you guys were passing on to them? Did you feel like they were receptive?
I think that it was genuine in terms of everybody who was in there, every teacher there. It wasn't a photo op. There was no camera. There was no media. It was just the Department of Education. It was Betsy DeVos. It was a few of her aides. And then it was us and our CCSSO representatives. So it was not just for attention. Do I think that we could have done more? Absolutely. But, you know, we were all appreciative of the fact that she actually just sat down with us, regardless if we had differing opinions or views or anything like that. It's the fact that she took the time out of her schedule to even sit there and hear the things that we had to say, because we spent a good 45 minutes, I think almost an hour with her.
That's good. You know, all these teachers come from all over the country. Did you feel like from the short conversations you had with other nominees that you guys were on the same page, or did you feel like people from different parts of the country had different perspectives?
We all have different perspectives. Many of us are on the same page, but there are many of us that aren't. And the great thing about that is that we listen to each other. Our cohort is amazing. The state teachers that I work with, every one of them, whether we agree with each other or we don't on certain issues, none of us have to argue about anything. We sit down and we can have communication and we talk about things. And I mean, you know, perfect example is there are some people who are Trump supporters, some people who are not Trump supporters. But those people can sit there from those different states. We can all sit down and have conversations of the whys, the why not. and understand that other person, where they're coming from. I learned a lot from other people in other states and how something that might not affect me, us here in Texas, definitely affects somebody else who might be in North Dakota or somewhere else. So it's an opportunity to get to see that, wow, the things that are happening in education here, there are some things that kind of are across the board. We talk about teacher pay or benefits and certain issues like that, that are kind of, we all have the same, you know, opinion. But then there are other things that, you know, you don't realize that are going on that maybe, you know, on the East Coast, there are issues that are completely different than the West Coast or Middle America or even here in Texas. And you get to hear all these different things and go, wow, you know, I'm lucky I don't have that problem, but you're lucky that you don't have this problem. So it's very eye-opening. You get to really see that the issues that are in education, not just education, but in politics and society as a whole, differ throughout the country. And you have to be able to take that into consideration and appreciate that where everybody else comes from, you may not have that issue and you may have something else affecting you, but somebody else is fighting a whole other battle.
Was there any one moment that stuck out in your mind that you can share with us on the trip?
Gosh. There were a lot of moments that stood out. We had a private lunch at Mike Pence, the vice president's house. The second lady, Karen Pence, actually hosted a luncheon for us. And it was a very interesting day. We were able to kind of tour. She opened the home to us, and we were able to go around and spend time at the house and the pool. And it was a very surreal moment. Vice President Pence showed up, surprised us all. We took photos with him and everything, and it was her. And I think the highlight of most of our day was that Marlon Brando made an appearance, and most of us were very excited to see the rabbit.
Right.
So that was kind of a standout moment. I think it was a standout moment when, if you want to be very honest, I think the thing that stands out the most to me, though, about this entire trip, there were many amazing, and I want to make it clear, there were so many amazing memories and events that we were a part of. But the thing that stood out to me the most is what's happening to our National Teacher of the Year right now, Mandy Manning. And that is that because someone decided to alter video of what happened when the Teachers of the Year were at the White House, Mandy is now receiving death threats, her and her family, for something that she didn't even do. And I think that is what stands out the most to me, is that here is this person who is an amazing educator, amazing mother, wife, friend, and she is taking the brunt of heat for so much anger and rage in America that is directed at the wrong person.
Well, and so anybody who's not familiar with what you're talking about, what happened and what looked like happened?
So what happened, the true story, is that all of us were invited to the White House, and we were asked, which is what happens kind of every year, the state teachers all go to the White House. In previous years, you meet the president, take a pitch photo with the president, and you're kind of recognized in that way. This year was slightly different. We didn't necessarily, none of us took a picture with the president except for the four finalists. So we didn't actually meet President Trump. We were actually just in the room when he came in to announce and make a speech about the winner, which was Mandy. Make a long story short, president came in, shook the hands of people that were on stage, Mandy being one of them, and then gave his speech and awarded her the award. Mandy shook his hand. Mandy was respectful. Mandy didn't do anything except for just stand there and get her award. And people turned the event around on video and chopped up the video to make it seem as if she didn't shake his hand. She didn't respect the president. She didn't clap when he entered the room. And all of that is just altered video.
Wow.
That's not at all what happened. And because of the video that was altered received over, I think now it's at 9 or 10 million views in. She has received death threats. She has received birthday cards at her school that were just hateful. They've threatened her children.
Wow.
It's unacceptable. The sad thing is, Nick, is that none of it happened the way that the video is portraying it.
Right.
And any of us, all of us have showed different video and photos that we have of the event. I mean, I have on my camera alone. I posted a video online that said, here's what really happened. And it shows her clearly shaking his hand. But people don't want to see that. People are just not wanting to hear the truth. They just want to keep being enraged and anger. And it's baffling to us that here we are as teachers and we're in this political warfare we never asked for. It's like we're honored for something. We were happy to be honored, happy to be there together. And somehow we're the villains of a story that we didn't even want to write.
Right. Well, you know, and I think you're setting a good example by just saying, you know, here I was with all these great teachers and we all had different views and different opinions, but we all got along and we talked and we expressed each other's ideas. And you know, you just kind of wish the country would follow suit with the example that you all are setting.
Yeah. And I mean, and I mean, perfect example is, you know, we had people who brought their children who, you know, again, they were Trump supporters. And then you have people who were not Trump supporters, but nobody fought with anyone in that room. Right. Nobody took a side. Nobody said, well, I'm left, I'm right, I can't talk to you. Nobody did that because as teachers, we see things differently. You know, we don't bring politics in the classroom. And I think that that kind of carried over into our relationship with each other. It doesn't matter to us what side you're on. We just want to have conversations and be heard, and we want to hear you. And that's what we did. And it was shocking to us, all of us, no matter whose side you're on, left or right, that you could attack Mandy, who is one of the nicest people. And some of us got attacked too. I mean, I've been attacked this year. I'm not going to even lie. I've been attacked quite a bit online, or people have called my classroom because I made a comment about gun safety that was totally misquoted. And because of that misquote, you have all the people that start attacking you. Yeah. And so for all the great things that have happened with Teacher of the Year, it's also been a very wild ride for some of us, because those of us who do speak up and do say, you know, this is what we think is best for the students, or this is what is, you know, what educators today need, we are chastised for that. We are punished for having a voice or for caring about other people. That is a crazy time to be in, to be honest with you, Nick.
No, it is a crazy time. And I think any time that we are suppressing even an opinion, whether it be from one side or the other, you start to get into dangerous territory. And of course, you know, you yourself and all the other nominees for Teacher of the Year have clearly proven themselves. And I think everyone really needs to be heard. So hopefully people are hearing you now. And you know, they'll maybe take a step back next time something similar may come down the pipe. What's your relationship like with all the other teachers? Do you guys stay in touch? Do you have like a private Facebook page? I mean, how are y'all communicating with each other? Does that continue?
We have some ways that we communicate, some secret ways. We also, most of us, we have shared phone numbers and emails. We text each other. We have phone calls. We are actually a very close cohort. Even the organization noticed that, you know, we're very close. We're also probably one of the most vocal cohorts. And we definitely, they're friends, they're family. I mean, there are some of those teachers who, have become some of my best friends. It's, even though it's been kind of a competition, if you will, there's no competition amongst us. We support each other. We're happy when someone wins an award. We cheer each other on. It's so funny to us because it's such a competitive world that we live in. But amongst us, we have great relationships. I can count on them for if I need help. I'm now lucky enough to say that I can call 50 people from all different walks of life, all different backgrounds, and get help or have an additional way now to bring something new into my classroom. I mean, I can't express how grateful I am for the opportunity to know these people. They are amazing educators, and not one of them doesn't deserve the award. And I'm honored to even be considered in that group with them.
Well, great. Tara Bordeaux, you know, you've done amazing work. We appreciate you being honest and candid with us about the experience up there in Washington. And I think everyone would agree that you know, all teachers need to be heard, and certainly nothing needs to be twisted. It just needs to be a nice level playing field of discussion if we're going to move forward.
Absolutely. And I think that if we could just get people to stop, you know, and I'm sure you get this with having a podcast, is we have got to get the world, not just America, we've got to get people in general to stop believing, unfortunately, everything that they see online, because it is changing people. We have so many false news outlets and media reports coming out that if you don't take the time to do the actual double check or the research before you click or you share it, I mean, you're causing people to be fired and threatened before we even know the truth of the stories. And it's time that we come back to making sure that the truth is in journalism and the truth is in what's being reported.
Yeah,
so important that we come back to that.
Absolutely. And I think one thing that teachers can do, even if we can't correct all the adults, we might be able to educate the future into distinguishing between what's true and what's made up for, you know, living up to some sort of narrative.
Absolutely. That's what I do in my classes, being, you know, cinema, media arts, and my kids are also at PBS NewsHour. It's important that the kids learn the difference between fact and opinionated biases. They have to. It's just, it's crucial that we live in a world that the next generation learns how to distinguish truth from fiction. And, you know, we have to do it, Nick.
Yes. Tara, again, thank you so much for your time, and thanks for representing Texas.
Thank you so much for having me, Nick. I appreciate it.
That's going to do it for this episode of Class Dismissed. We want to hear from you, so if you want to send us an idea or a comment, remember you can always email us at info@classdismissedpodcast.com. We're here to support educators, but we need your support as well. So if you like what you heard today, please be sure and hit that subscribe button, and we'd also love it if you'd leave us a 5-star review. Don't forget you can connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/classdismissedpodcast or on Twitter. Just search for us by typing in Class Dismissed. On behalf of Russ with School Status and Lissa representing all the teachers out there, I'm Nick Ortega, and I'll talk with you next week.
Class Dismissed.